Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So Jim Irsay is fascinating. So Jim Irsay took over the Colts in the late 90s, 97. In that time, very short span, they have had 16 winning seasons, 16 playoff appearances, were able to pivot brilliantly off Peyton Manning. You see how hard it's been for New England post-Tom Brady. They moved off Peyton Manning and won 11 games the next year. Two Super Bowls, a Super Bowl win. He has his relationships, Jim Irsay's relationships in music and Hollywood are fascinating. Now, his musical taste is more like my sister. My sister's older than me. So he's Dylan, Grateful Dead. I'm more Van Halen. My guys were more hedonistic. I'm more Van Halen, AC/DC. He's a fascinating guy. Jim Irsay, Colts owner, joining us now live.
So it's good to be here, Colin. I just wanted to mention, speaking of music, it's a historical day in great music, which also has ties to the NFL. And let's have a brief little reason why that is.
Why is that?
50 years ago today, the song What's Going On was released. And it has special NFL ties, Colin, because Lombardi and Mel Farr were in the studio that started out that song when they're kind of talking to each other and then the saxophone comes in. So really special kind of NFL ties there with two NFL greats, with the great Marvin Gaye and of course, a song that's like John Lennon's Imagine or U2's One. It's so powerful and so relevant today.
Well, you're a fan of Bob Dylan. The times, they are a-changing. Carson Wentz is your new quarterback. That's a big decision. It's a lot of money, Jim. He comes off a season in which he struggled. Take me to the moment that you and Chris Ballard said, let's go for it.
Well, it really was a lot of work as soon as the off season ended, because we talked to Philip Rivers. We loved that team of 2020 and fought gallantly down in Buffalo and just came up short. And we were all a bit heartbroken because we loved that football team. But Philip wanted to retire. And so Frank Reich and I and Chris really had to go into some deep moments of, you know, what will be our next move. And there was other possibilities, you know, in the air. You know, we kind of were looking to see what direction to go in. And when Carson looked like that was going to be the direction we wanted to go in,
yep,
it really took a lot of conversations between the three of us and me just really asking them, do they really feel good about this move and about making this commitment? Because I think, Colin, oftentimes in NFL personnel decisions, the number one enemy, you know, can be impatience.
Yeah.
And you can't force things or you get in trouble. And in this case, we made the decision to make the deal. It worked out with the Eagles. And really, we couldn't be more excited. I don't just say that, but in talking with Frank Reich and hearing his excitement, and we really feel even better now, 6 weeks or so later, than when we made the deal. We really think that it gives us a chance with someone who's younger than Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
To have greatness for 10 years. We really feel fortunate.
By the way, there are some similarities to Andrew Luck. He's big, he's strong, he moves, he wins a lot of games. It's interesting, Jim. I've had two different people in the last month tell me that Jim Irsay knows more football than any current NFL owner. And they one told me publicly, one told me privately, and so I'll just keep that there. But both said Irsay is rare in that he knows football, but he's not meddling. And that's not a shot at anybody else. But when you run a franchise and you do know a lot about football and you do know personnel, is it ever hard to manage yourself and go, okay, Jim, just let the coach, let the GM, GM. Is that ever a little bit of a struggle because you do know this game?
It not really, Colin, because I started 50 years ago, half a century ago, when Johnny Unitas touched me on the shoulder in the cafeteria and said, son, move your ass, and sat down next to me in the lunchroom in Golden, Colorado. And so I really learned every position in the organization from $5 a week at ball boy to eventually owner and everything in between, general manager at 24. And I was with Joe Thomas when I was 11 years old, 12 years old in Golden, Colorado, living with our general manager then, Joe Thomas. Ted Marciabrota took me under his wing in the 70s. And really, guys like Al Davis and Tex Schramm had huge influences on me. So it's actually the opposite. You respect what each person has to go through in your organization. So you want to give them room to have their own authorship on things that they're doing and empower them and let them know you believe in them. So sometimes, you even have to step back when you think that they may be making the wrong decision. Sometimes you can't step in, but there are times when you have to.
Yeah.
And hopefully that's rare.
How hard was it for you? Because you're somebody who is involved. You're around the practice, you know it, you are, players have relationships with you. And I'm sure you and Peyton had a great relationship, but you had to move off that. And you did it very elegantly. That is hard to do. And it was smart and it was elegant. It was respectful. Was there a moment for you, Jim, that you were afraid of that whole thing and thought, oh, what am I doing here? Was there a pause? Was it difficult to move off the great Peyton Manning?
Well, it really was. It was really heartbreaking. The thing about professional football, it's about winning, and that's what we all get paid to do. And my responsibility is to make the circle when we go into the locker room before a game as strong as I possibly can. But Peyton's a really smart guy too. And I picked him up in Miami and we had a 2.5 hour flight.
Wow.
Where we talked everything through and, both agreed that the best direction was him to find an opportunity to finish his career that would give him the best chance to win. Cause a lot of people forget the massive salary cap problems we had after 2011. We had a cut, Gary Brackett and Joseph Addai and the list goes on. All the guys we had to move away from Dallas Clark. And so it was a team that really was a very young team. And it was really the hardest thing I ever had to do because he means so much to the franchise and to me, and we're so close. But Peyton's a smart guy, and he understands, he looks through it from the lens of an owner or a general manager, and he understood, and it worked out, and we couldn't be closer now and have been for a long time. I don't think there'll ever be another Peyton Manning in my lifetime. He's just that special to the franchise and to me and my family.
Yeah, that's amazing. You're part of the Irsay family launched Kicking the Stigma to raise awareness about mental health. You're on social media. You talk about things. You're an open book about this stuff. You guys raised about $5 million at a virtual fundraiser. And I want you to talk about mental health because I think this country has gone through a very difficult last 18 months. Kids, parents, first responders, and talk a little about Kicking the Stigma, which you and your family have been front and center and are raising millions.
Well, Kicking the Stigma has been something really important to myself and my family and the franchise. And I think it was just so much needed even before COVID. But once COVID came in and created isolation, economic insecurities, and other things, it became that much more important. All hands on deck, really urgent situations in all parts of society. You were hearing stories of people losing their grip in this very difficult environment for the human psyche to go through. If they were maybe struggling some before, now that struggle got really, really almost something they couldn't carry. So we made a commitment to make it our main family legacy in creating Kicking the Stigma. My youngest daughter, Kaylin, came up with that term and we went forward. And it's just amazing how many people have reached out to us. And I think we really wanted to have a way to have big time awareness on this issue, because it's great to build institutions, which we're doing, pay for doctors, pay for, you know, scholarships for people, because insurance companies so often fall short, that at the same time, just bringing awareness to the table and really getting people to say, hey, it's okay not to be okay, as Darius Leonard says. So it's really been, it's something, Colin, that like James Taylor says, 10 miles behind us, but 10,000 more to go. You know, this is something that we're going to be engaged in for many years, decades, and going forward. And it's going to take that sort of effort to really bring things around, because we're not in 2021 where we need to be when we approach mental illnesses in this world or this country.
That's so funny you mentioned. I was just listening to Jackson Brown and James Taylor last weekend on my YouTube channel. And my wife's like, what are you doing? I'm just like, I'm in a Carly Simon mood. Jackson Brown, James Taylor. Now, I was never, Grateful Dead was a little, I was too young. By the way, we have a minute left. Were you a Deadhead? Did you ever travel with the Grateful Dead?
I wasn't a Deadhead, but being a guitarist, and I originally was a violinist and then became a guitarist, mandolin, classical guitar, you know, of course, electric guitar. So Jerry Garcia was just one of my favorite players, that he was just so special. And I was a big Jerry Garcia fan. But I love the Dead. I mean, I love that gypsy tribe traveling throughout the country and bringing all sorts of people together and so much joy and, you know, kind of that traveling band, if you will. So love the Dead. Glad they're going back out on the road again.
Yep.
With John Mayer picking. He's a great player, and they can play Tiger if they want. They just haven't, no one's decided to pick it up on stage yet. Jerry's old Tiger guitar that I have and play. So we'll see if they have any interest this tour.
Jim, it's an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for Kicking the Stigma to raise awareness about mental health disorders. Good luck to you, Chris Ballard, Frank Reich, Carson Wentz, and the organization. You're well run, a credit to the league, and thank you so much.
Thanks, Colin. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it, man.
All right. He's got much greater musical taste than I do. I like Van Halen. I'm sorry. That was who I liked. AC/DC, Back in Black, and Van Halen.
You know. I took guitar lessons for a long time.
You did?
Guitar, piano, and get this one, voice lessons.
Can you sing?
You know I can't sing.
Well, you took the lessons.
I sang on the show, remember?
You did?
Yes.
It wasn't tragic. It was good,
no,
wasn't it?
No, it was not good.
Can you guys
that.
Get the
archive
of that, if you could?
Do not.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Well, I love this. I think this boxing match was the last sporting event that you and I were in attendance at before COVID last year.
Oh, it was. It was crazy town. And by the way, we had great seats.
Had great seats. Your seats were a little better than mine, but still great seats. And I actually saw you. I saw you leaving, but there was like just enough people in between us that I was like, if you see someone, you're like gonna like say hello, but then it's like gonna be weird because they're not gonna see you. That's how it was with me and Colin at the Wilder Fury 2, and there will be a Wilder Fury 3. They have reportedly agreed to fight, tentatively scheduled July 24th, after an arbitrator ruled that Fury was contractually obligated to give Wilder a rematch.
Now, where is it at, Joy?
I believe it's in Vegas.
Oh, is it?
Allegiant Stadium in Vegas, yes.
Oh, delicious.
Yes. Their first fight ended in a draw in 2018. And then, of course, Fury won by TKO in their second match last year, which was a spectacle.
Yeah.
I will never forget the amount of time it took for the two of them to get to the ring.
Oh, it was really too much.
I love the pageantry, but I would agree with you. This took a little bit too much time.
Wilder literally was exhausted and literally was wobbling because he was so tired from carrying his outfit.
Yeah, so he had this insane, like, electronic king suit on. And because Fury was brought in on a traveling caravan of, like, throne thing that took 15 minutes to get from the entrance to the ring, he said it hurt his legs. But Fury is favored -350 over Wilder, according to Fox Bet right now. I think I'm going with Wilder in this fight, but that will be
that'll be a fun
event. So the Lakers and Suns start their first round playoff series on Sunday, even though the Lakers are the 7 seed going up against the 2 seed Suns. They are the favorites in the series.
That's
this is the first time in the last 30 years that the 7 or 8 seed has been favored in the playoffs. They are -162 over the Suns, according to Fox Bet.
Suns are a lively dog simply because they're young players. They've built real chemistry, Joy. They've averaged 69 games with their young players. So this team plays well together. They played a lot together. They don't get injured. They've got bigs. They can move. They got a Hall of Fame point. This is a lively dog here.
This is an interesting series. I would take the Lakers in the series, but I think it will be a longer series than people think.
So do I.
And the Lakers better stay healthy.
Yep.
Because this is a really rough way. I know everyone's like, oh, like the Suns did all this work, and then they got the Lakers in the first round. Suns are playing well. And they played 3 times during the regular season. Suns won twice. Lakers won once. I don't really pay too much attention to what happened in the regular season matchups.
Yeah.
You make of it what you will. But some other interesting odds, and Nets are -1200 over the Celtics, according to Fox Bet. The Bucks -333 over the Heat. Clippers -400 over the Mavericks. So you can go check out the rest of those odds on Fox Bet. The Patriots are hoping they found their quarterback of the future in Mac Jones. He may not have to take the field as a rookie, but Julian Edelman believes whenever Jones does get to play, he will have to deal with a lot of pressure.
Yes.
He needs to have that eye.
Right, it's not just his
confidence. What are you going to do? This kid, it's not easy playing in New England, especially after Tom Brady, if he gets the opportunity and beats out the other guys. You know, this ain't going to be easy. This town is tough. This town is mean. This town is blue collar. Boston people, the New England people, they want winning. They're used to that in all sports.
Right.
This kid's going to have a lot of pressure.
Yeah, he's right. No, it is. It's a Boston. What's really tough about Boston is they've won so much. I mean, the last 10 years, you're talking Red Sox, and I mean, the Celtics haven't won, but they've been, well, they have won about 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah, not that
Patriots
long ago.
Have won.
And they're still, although we, you know, probably have too much expectation of the current Celtics team, they're still a playoff team.
The standard for sports in Boston is way top shelf.
I don't think that Mac Jones is going to see the field this year.
I don't either.
Unless Cam Newton has an injury, I don't see why they would.
Yeah.
Right now, this year, uniquely, I don't think there's any pressure on Mac Jones. Even if Mac did have to go out there because of an injury situation, I mean, maybe I'm off base on this, but I don't think that his performance would be evaluated that strongly in this situation. He fell to them. It wasn't a press situation. It's kind of a little bit surprising. Belichick doesn't usually take a quarterback that high. He only has 17 starts. I don't think there's any pressure on him this year, but once the job is his, I do agree with Julian. It's going to be an interesting situation.
It's just an intense city. Their sports talk, their writers, their media, their
fans.
And
it should be. It should be. They have a winning standard. Like that's what they expect. And that's what those fans are used to. So they should expect winning.
Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Bigger your company grows, the faster you sync with QuickBooks. Go to NetSuite, one-of-a-kind financing, netsuite.com/herd, netsuite.com/herd. NBA playoffs start this weekend. Let's go through the headlines of the first-round matchups with our friend Jason McIntyre. Fox Sports Radio tomorrow, 10 in the morning Eastern till 1. All right, a lot of tasty stuff out there. We both love these NBA playoffs. Let's not waste any time. So, tomorrow's headline today, Knicks-Hawks series. What are we getting?
Very exciting, right? The Knicks haven't been in the playoffs, Colin. You weren't even at FS1 the last time they were in the playoffs. The headline will be A2 Trey, Hawks slay Julius, and the Knicks. A little Shakespeare for you on a Friday afternoon, Herd Nation. I like the Hawks, Colin. Not a lot of people on them. Everybody likes the Knicks. They were a great story. You know they were the best against the spread team in the NBA this year. Cashed at 63%. It's not going to go well for them in the series. The problem is they really rely on their bench all season, right? Tom Thibodeau loves to play Derrick Rose and Burks and Quickly off the bench. But in the playoffs, the benches shrink, right? You're playing your stars heavy minutes, and Atlanta's just top heavier offensively.
Yeah.
Top 10 unit. I think the Knicks struggle to get buckets, and I like Trae Young and Atlanta to advance here.
Oh, that's fun. It's going to be a good offense and a great defense. All right, tomorrow's headlines today. The headline for the Clippers-Mavs series. This is interesting.
You know, I've done Undisputed a couple times in the last couple months, and I've blasted the Clippers, and people are very upset. The headline for this series will be Kawhi It, first-round exit. Colin, I'm on an island. I haven't seen anyone else take the Mavericks here. But remember, last year's series was close, right? Luka pushes it to 6, but they lost Porzingis to injury. And Porzingis was killing the Clippers. He averaged 23 points a game, 52% from 3. Just the pick-and-pop game with Luka is just killing the Clippers. He's healthy now. Can he stay healthy for the series is the question. But, you know, this is a Dallas team with Luka Doncic unstoppable. I don't want to hear this. Kawhi's a great defender. Paul George. They could not contain Luka last year at all. And the Clippers still have questions, Colin. Like, what's their confidence level? Last week, they're ducking the Lakers just so they could face a Mavericks team that's very plucky. I'm telling you, I like Luka. If they're healthy, and I think they are, I think the Mavericks steal it in 7, and it sets up a what on earth do the Clippers do this offseason?
Wow, that's interesting. Tomorrow's headlines today, Nuggets-Blazers series. Blazers are always a lively dog because they got one of the four or five best offensive players in the game.
And you're Mr. Pacific Northwest, right? I know you came from there. The headline will be Joker's Last Dance. I think the Nuggets get bounced early.
Wow.
Colin, fun stat. When was the last time an NBA MVP went to the finals? You got to go all the way back to 2016 and Steph Curry. MVPs have not fared well in the postseason. I'm going to just remind you, the Nuggets had a deep run last year, right, to the conference finals. Jokic played all 72 games, heavy minutes, and now he doesn't have Jamal Murray in the playoffs. I just think this is an unfavorable matchup for them. You know, it's basically Dame and CJ, the great Portland backcourt, against a couple guys, Morris and Campazzo. It sounds like a law firm. You know, if you get in a car accident, you're hiring these guys. They cannot contain Dame. I think Portland wins this in 6 or 7.
Wow. Boy, we got some good matchups here. You're calling upsets. Tomorrow's headlines today. Now, this one, Bucks Heat series. I like the Bucks to win it all, but I think this is a 6-7 game series.
What?
I know. I can think two things at once. I love the Bucks, but I think this is a brutal first round matchup. Your thoughts?
the worst. The headline will be Miami's so nice, they beat them twice. Colin, this Miami Heat team, they're licking their chops to face the Bucks. You know, Eric Spoelstra, Joy's a big fan. Eric Spoelstra's like playing chess, okay? Jimmy Butler did not face this team all year. Yeah. Spoelstra did not want them to see Jimmy Butler and the new offense that Miami has. They got two new starters from last year's series when they totally embarrassed Budenholzer and Giannis. I just want to point out, okay, the Bucks want to run. They're number two in the league in transition points. Miami's defense, number one, fewest fast break points allowed. By the way, Giannis in three games against Miami struggled 16 points a game, his lowest average against any team in the league. Colin, it's just a bad matchup for the Bucks. And I will say this, they went out in the conference finals 2 years ago to Kawhi. Last year, it was a semis to the Heat. If they lose a series, and I'm taking the Heat in seven, I've already bet them to win this series, you have to wonder what happens in Milwaukee. Budenholzer probably is toast.
Yeah.
But what is Giannis like? Hey, I asked for help. You guys got me one-time All-Star Jrue Holiday. Can we do more than that? And you just wonder what happens if Miami pulls this off. I'm not betting against Jimmy Butler. I love this guy.
Interesting. Tomorrow's headlines today, Lakers-Suns. Now, I think the Suns are a lively dog because their four best players all played 69-7 games. They don't get hurt. They've got good chemistry. And you don't know the Lakers' hell. So what's the headline you got?
All right, the headline will be CP3 times isn't a charm. Unfortunately, Chris Paul, you know, listen, CP3's had a great, great career in the regular season. Colin, in the playoffs, he's hurt. They get bounced. He just never has luck, and now he draws LeBron. I mean, Colin, I feel kind of bad for Chris Paul, but think about this, okay? LeBron is going to be going against Jay Crowder or Mikal Bridges, all right? He's going to eat these guys alive. Even when he's not 100%, he had a triple-double against the Warriors, hits the game-winning shot. Like, LeBron is just going to channel this energy. This is a guy in the playoffs. The last 9 years, he's gotten to the finals. The last 9 years he's been healthy, LeBron's in the finals. I don't know how the Suns stopped them. I'm telling you, if the Suns were in the other half of the bracket, I might have them in the conference finals. I just don't see them getting by the Lakers here. Lakers are a great defensive team. And if you look closely, Colin, if you squint, Phoenix has kind of struggled defensively down the stretch. Golden State against the Lakers, top five defense. The Suns haven't played like it the last 15 games. And I think the X factor, you can laugh if you want, Alex Caruso. A lot of people see a 27-year-old white guy who's balding and they're like, ah, who's this guy? He is a really good defender, Colin. Yep. He was great against Curry the other night.
Yep.
And I think he's going to do well against Devin Booker. I think the Lakers take this in five or six.
Good stuff. So you got the Hawks over the Knicks. By the way, on the betting market, I don't think that's an upset. I think the Hawks are favored. No. Yeah.
Hawks are slight favorites, yes. Yeah, but the general public loves the Knicks, New York back, you know, that narrative. Oh. I think the interesting series to watch is that Clippers-Mavs. Luka Doncic cannot be stopped in the pick and roll. And, you know, the Clippers have no rim protector at all. They don't want to play Zubac late. Ibaka's been hurt for like the last 2 months. He's barely played. Things are not trending well. And listen, I have a buddy on the Clippers staff, Dante Jones, really, you know him from FS1. He's a good assistant coach. Ty Lue's done well. I just don't like this matchup against the Mavericks.
Well, the Clippers have also been kind of an atrocious late game team. And this
this
series figures to be late game, 4 minutes left, 1 2-point game. And the Clippers sort of are at times a little headless late in games. They just don't have a leader. That's why they brought Rondo on. Playoff Rondo, though.
35-year-old point guard. Come on.
All right. Jason McIntyre. Good stuff, my man.
All right, pal.
So he's got the Hawks beating the Knicks, the Mavs beating the Clips, the Blazers beating the Nuggets, the Heat beating the Bucks, and the Lakers win. Here's what's interesting. Last year was a crazy postseason, and it was a pandemic, so we could all see it was crazy, right? We were all living it. Now we're mostly through the pandemic to a large degree, and we think this is just a regular season. No, it's not. We've had a lot more injuries, fewer practice time, worse chemistry. So Jason is going out there saying last year's playoffs had upsets. This year's playoff will have upsets. So next year, you're going to get a more normalcy. This is still a very strange year.
Yeah, the NBA has had to deal with a lot of repercussions from COVID. Maybe, most out of the leagues, I think.
Yes, yes. So don't, you know, if the Kings get toppled, don't be shocked. There's going to be some upsets here. Good show today. Chris Webber, Jim Irsay. Hot water that never runs out. Go tankless with Navien. The web address is free and easy to remember. 15-year limited warranty. Save space, save time, save money. They're efficient. Tanklessmadesimple.com. Tanklessmadesimple.com. Buy a Navien for joy. Ryan, everybody here, thank you so much. Fun show today. Fun week. Enjoy the NBA playoffs. It's The Herd.